This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, 1 hour still to go. The big show, it's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5 on an F. Yeah, Friday, F for funny, as you heard. And if you missed, go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab. You can catch up on every bit of the show you missed. Our comedian of the week, Sean Finnerty, funny dude, been on The Tonight Show.
Was just in the building.
Was here at 2:30, so hour number two for that. The clips that we've run are 1:15, 2:15, and he's grinding. And he came in even though his gig was canceled at the Joke Joint. They got him a bunch of gigs around town, and a funny dude. So check all that out and much more if you miss any of that. While you're there, download the app at ESPN975.com. Then you can take us anywhere, everywhere, never miss a thing.
I keep turning Barry's mic on like he's in the studio like a dumbass. It just throws me off because then I can like hear like the air conditioning in my ear for some reason. It's weird.
Is that
just like throwing me off?
On or
no, it's throwing me off.
Put you to sleep, like a sleep. They were saying that. Did you see that? That people that use apps on their phone to sleep, like sleep apps, they're actually bad for you. And in some cases, they can make you eat more.
I've never used a sleep app, so I can't. I feel like there's a lot of things that can make you eat more. Stress is one of them. Depression. I don't know. Have you ever used that? I mean,
luckily I've never needed anything. You know, Barry talks about the box fans. I've never needed anything to sleep when I'm tired. Like even last night watching that finals game, as much as I wanted to watch every bit of it,
ready to shut down anyway.
Yeah. In the fourth quarter, I dozed off twice and then caught the end of it. And then right at the end of the game, it never fails. I go to bed and then I'm laying there like, now I can't sleep. If I was comfortable, I was, you know, in that kind of mode where I could just shut it down, had the pillow and the blanket on the couch ready to, and then when I go to bed, I'm like, oh, God.
That happens to me all the time. Happens to me all the time. That's why I'm thinking about getting a ceiling TV. Have you ever thought about that?
So you're laying in bed
and you're looking up.
It's not a bad idea. I kind of like it.
Has anybody ever done that? Because that happens to me so much. You're comfortable, you're in the couch, and you pass out, and you do not want to get up from the couch.
You know where I would expect to see that? Las Vegas.
Or Barry's house.
True.
Because Barry probably has like a push button. Laminate
Mansion probably has that in every room.
Puffs up from the bottom of the floor, and then
it
ends up in
the... Yeah. That's the vacuum. I will say this. In Vegas, in the past, in certain suites... All right, I'll say it. Barry would give me a hard time for this. But when we were living the life of Entourage, mm-hmm. With Charles Barkley, when we would go there, he would lose so much money gambling that they would give him the suite on top of whatever hotel we were staying at.
Of course
at.
They would. Yep.
And that's got like five bedrooms, its own swimming pool, all these different things. But one of the really badass things was when the big ass bed you get into, when you press a button, the footboard of the bed becomes like a 50-inch big screen TV.
See, that's badass.
So you press the button, all of a sudden you... this big screen TV come in. It's almost like you're closed in a box watching it.
That's what
you're
I
laying
need.
In bed, and straight in front of you is a 50 inch.
I'm all about that. That's in a hotel.
Oh yeah, that was in like the MGM.
That must be like
in their
signature,
in their
probably.
Suite. Yeah, yeah. It was pretty cool.
Or maybe they have a suite in the regular MGM that does that.
I'm sure
I've never
now
been
it's
in a
probably
room.
more prevalent.
I mean, I've never.
But this was like built into the foot of the bed. Like, you know, it had kind of like a dresser at the back at the foot of the bed. And it came right out of the top of the dresser, right at the end of the bed.
I've never seen that in hotels because I've never been in a room that big. But that would be badass just to have at the house. I mean, I've had a projector. Like I remember saving up for a projector once, and that was pretty cool.
Now that I'll tell you this, I used to work with a guy that had the projection HD, like almost wall size, and I was like, man, it's probably going to be grainy and whatever. Dude, those pictures are just beautiful.
No, they're clear. Oh, yeah, they're really, really clear. And I bought mine like years ago. So I can only imagine the ones that they make right now. I'm pretty sure it's a really, really good projector. But at the same time, what made me get rid of mine was I was told that the bulb was like incredibly expensive.
They are.
And I dropped it on the floor once.
Yep.
And it was still functional. And I was like, you know what?
Yeah, LED is the way to go. Because if you end up with anything with the bulb, you're going to be paying a ton. Big time. On that regard, I want to touch on this too, because we talked about it the other day, and Barry and I were talking about just what a POS the Kellen Winslow Jr. was.
Yeah, the more details came out about that, about his past at least.
Yeah, and we were kind of getting into the fact that we don't know how his childhood was, but when you figure your dad's a successful NFL player and you're probably living in a great neighborhood with all the money you need and all these other things, how do these kind of things happen? Well, now the story's coming out that this dude had signs all along, well before he, if you missed it, got convicted this week of raping a homeless woman, a hitchhiker, and an unconscious 17-year-old girl. So we already were blasting this guy, and we were like, what the hell is his deal? Now it turns out stories are coming out from players and people that have worked on and with NFL teams that he has played for that show just how sick he was. They were talking about the fact that before the internet became the accessibility of free porn for everybody.
Uh-huh.
He used to have it on his phone. He used to bring DVDs and the DVD players. And so when the team goes on, it's a big amount of people that go on these planes. You have to double up. You have to sit next to each other. They said it was guaranteed his seat on every plane would be left open because he would openly and freely pleasure himself while watching DVDs of pornography on every flight.
So you would get yelled at, or maybe nobody was brave enough to mess with him at the time. I don't know. You would get yelled at by me, bro. You're not doing that.
So no one said anything about that, okay? So now then porn becomes more prevalent and accessible. Now online, and even with his laptops, iPads, and other things, when he's in team meetings, supposedly watching video, supposedly that's with a D, by the way, for any of you that are going to text me. He's, again, right in front of teammates, watching the porn, touching himself. And the worst was later on in his career, when he went back to the Buccaneers, he acquired a life-sized silicone mold of a woman's torso, complete with the Virginia and the B-hole. And he brought it on road trips and took it around while he was going to and from meetings and such, according to one former assistant coach. Just the nastiest thing ever. And then on top of that, one of the equipment managers said one night he had to come in and do some things with the uniforms prior to a game. Winslow Jr., who had the locker just three lockers away from the doors in which everybody would come in out of the locker room, was in there by himself, full-blown taking care of it, watching porn at night the night before a game.
Aren't you embarrassed that they're leaving a row of seats for you because you had some sort of ritual on the plane?
No one wanted to be around
this
dude.
And no one wants to be around you. Like, that doesn't make you want to stop. This guy clearly had a major issue, and he should have been locked up a long time ago. Clearly, we just, as we tend to do in society, give people a pass for whatever reason. And now with the Me Too movement and everything else that's going on, we're starting to catch up. And a lot of these guys are, you know, the spotlight is being put on. You know, if social media was around when all this was going on, I don't know if we would even hear about Winslow that much. But
then it says he would brag about cheating on his wife by having one night stands on road trips. And the equipment manager said he had the task of delivering gear to the lockers hours before the team would walk in, and he walked in on Winslow masturbating in his locker two seats away from the entrance, and it didn't bother him a bit.
He obviously is sick, because how would you not be embarrassed about a situation like that?
Right?
Like, you have no shame at so whatsoever.
Talking about getting caught with your pants down, you're literally getting caught with your pants down and doing a whole lot more, and it's no big deal.
What is he looking at in terms of time? Do we know?
I didn't see if the sentencing phase had gone through.
I don't think it has.
He was just convicted of all three allegations.
Rape trial in September. He'll remain in jail is the last headline I see.
Is that right? So then he was just convicted of all the charges in the first case, but there were two more, because I know that there were three women all that had filed suit against him.
And he's raping anybody that he can get his hands on. It's just completely random with this guy, it seems like.
Well, unfortunately, the first thing that crosses your mind is, if these were the three ladies that came forward, how many more were there that were afraid?
Oh yeah, there's probably a bunch more, and that could potentially happen to him, which would be bad and good. It'd be bad because obviously they experienced something like that, but good. But maybe it would secure him in jail for the rest of his life, if not already. If they have enough dirt on him to keep him behind bars for the rest of his life. You know, hopefully we don't hear about any other cases and women coming out.
I just said last week, before even all this came out, this dude's got such a problem that you just need to, you need to snip his grapes. You need to, I don't care. And he should never get out again.
I don't think he should ever get out. That's he should just, ever get out. He's probably going to violate people in jail. This guy's weird, dude.
It's just, that's just a very, very sad situation. So hopefully he gets put away for a long time with no chance to get out. And
we don't have to do it here, but I do want to get into this Mike Tyson ranch.
I knew you'd be interested in that
this,
for some
this
reason.
This luxury weed ranch that he's got going on in California.
I thought you might pay a little bit of attention to that. So, yeah, definitely we'll mention that. Other things to get to as well. I don't know if you heard about this either, Nick, but in the NFL, the Bears, who obviously had their share of kicking issues last year, have been working with three kickers as they try and figure out if they can find a better option for next season. They had, at the end of their mini camp, a little kicking competition in front of the entire team, as well as, because it's the 100th year anniversary of the Bears, a lot of the big-name alumni that used to play for the Bears, all three kickers missed from 42 yards. They were so embarrassed, they cut one of them, and now they're looking past the other two trying to figure out what they're going to do to find another kicker.
God, that's embarrassing.
They're like cursed, dude.
So was it Chris? So Chris Blewett was one kicker that they waived.
Yeah, then the other two guys, they said both missed two, but at that time they hadn't decided what to do with them, but that the general manager was out there scouring options in terms of other kickers that they might be able to try out. This was a team that a year ago tried out the kid that, was it Aguiar? The kid that the Buccaneers drafted in,
In the first round?
First round, and then he completely crapped the bed. They're like, oh, we'll give him a second chance. He'll be better off. Nope, he wasn't. So
nope. I mean, if you can't deal with that pressure at 42 yards in front of the big Bears alum, like, what are you going to be able to do on the field in front of thousands and thousands of people at a stadium? So, yeah, I mean, that's embarrassing, 42 yards. And that kind of has been a problem in the NFL for a number of teams, including the Bears, but mainly the Bears. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to kind of foresee that now, I feel like. I feel like even the kicking position, like a kicker, like that's hard to evaluate now because you don't know.
But the value's there if you find a good one.
Right,
because we talked about all the different guys. Robbie Gould had a long career. A lot of guys that if you prove you look at Adam Vinatieri, he's still kicking in what, his mid 40s.
Yeah, and there's a mental aspect of his game. Like, that guy is so cool, calm, and collected. Like, it's unbelievable. And I think that's a big part of the game. You got to find these guys that are able to deal with the mental aspect as well. And obviously, that guy that Tampa Bay drafted, he had no mental strength whatsoever.
Yeah. And if you find it good when you hang on to him, in that regard, the Chiefs reaching an agreement with Harrison Butker, 5 years, $20 million. You rarely, if ever, get hit, but if you're accurate, you can be rich. Just be a good kicker in the NFL or a backup quarterback. That's all I know. All right, we got plenty of stories to get to. Nick already teased one of them. We'll get to the Mike Tyson story and more. And if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's Nick and Joel on an FYF Friday. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Because they are the mafia of the sky. Last time I flew with Spirit, I showed up to the airport on a Monday and they were like, how about Thursday? Because they're the ones who invented this low fares crap over here where they were like, how would you like to save $40 for the low, low cost of your dignity? Because of all these crazy stipulations, they're like, you don't get a carry-on, no snacks. Upon boarding the flight, the pilot gets to punch you in the nuts and call your father a coward. Oh, and in the event that we need to pull the evacuation slide, a first class passenger gets to sit on your back as they ride you to safety like a toboggan. And every time I'm just like, well, if it'll save me $40,
Hey, there's the final clip. Our comedian of the week on an F Yeah Friday, F for Funny, Sean Finnerty. We set the table for you, and we did it, and Barry brought him to our attention as well as brought him to the studio because he was here at 2:30. It was fantastic. He's in town this weekend. He's got the 10 o'clock show at the Secret Group on Saturday night, so you could see him on Saturday, Barry on Sunday, as Barry closes the joke joint for literally the final time as the doors will shut forever. But if you missed any of those clips or any part of the show, go to ESPN975.com, click on the show tab, and catch up on what you missed.
He gets the grind. He gets the grind like Barry Laminek does. Obviously, he comes from a different country, had to deal with the culture shock, had to be funny in America as well as in Ireland. So you got to give that guy a lot of props. So shout out to Sean.
He did the bartending. Some do broadcasting.
Yeah.
That's just the way it goes.
That's an interesting story. Yeah. Broke down in Orlando. I thought that was incredibly interesting. Another story I wanted to get to was regarding Mike Tyson.
Yes.
And the fact that he wants to get his hands in the cannabis industry as it becomes more normalized in society, if you will, for lack of a better explanation. So he buys this 418-acre plot of land in Desert Hot Springs, California.
Okay.
And for whatever reason, they try to find 2 more acres of land, so it'd be 420, like 420, but they couldn't do that. But it's really cool because of all the cool stuff that you can do. You can glamp, you cannot buy or sell anything on the property, but you can participate if you bring on your own. But how cool is this guy? How could you hate a guy like Mike Tyson? And I'm going to tweet out some of the links, how funny he is talking about this piece of property and what he plans to do with it. It's pretty, pretty funny. 420 acres of, I'm trying to pull it up right now, 420 acres of land. It's a weed ranch. There's going to be cannabis farming, a research lab, an edible processing facility, a lazy river that might be among the largest lazy river in the world. So he's planning to basically put this cool lazy river all the way across or all the way around this 418-acre property.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And you know, I've told you this. When I told you when he does these autograph shows and things now, that he literally, in his little dressing room area, he doesn't need green M&Ms, but he's got to have the weed.
It's funny because when he was in the video that he was in where they were promoting the ranch, he was literally looking at the joint like he can't wait for it to get back to him. Like, it just like a little kid. It was so funny. And this is a guy that didn't necessarily, he did admit to like participating in drugs and stuff like that, but he didn't really get into it until I think after his retirement.
Yeah, I think that's right.
And so, yeah, it's pretty cool. You can glamp, they call it glamping, you know, because that's what I got accused of for calling it camping when it really wasn't camping.
Oh, right.
It's like camping, but with
hotel rooms and waiters and butlers, the things that you do when you camp.
But he's selling everything from hemp-infused drinks, muscle pain ointments. I mean, this guy is... how cool is Mike Tyson?
He opened up a weed-friendly gym a few years ago.
I think that's Ricky Williams. Or he might have done
Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom's in it, too. Lamar Odom launching his own line of products and opened up a weed-friendly gym a few years ago. Ricky Williams, as you mentioned, to get into his incredibly on-brand empire by announcing he was doing the same in the form of a health-conscious weed company. Everyone's getting involved now that it's becoming legal.
Yeah, and I know we always like to make fun of me about, oh, Nick always likes to drink and smoke and all that other good stuff. But the reality is I've always believed, I don't necessarily encourage it. I don't think it's for everybody, but I do believe that there's benefits. And that's the reason why Mike Tyson got into it, too. It's not just, oh, we all want to get high. Here's a quote. After I retired from boxing, I would experience a lot of physical pain. I got tired of taking prescription pain medication because they left me feeling tired and cranky. Most of the time, I smoked marijuana from time to time because it made me feel better. So if it's for you and you're in a legal place, obviously,
right,
absolutely participate. But if you don't, obviously avoid. That's the reason why I like bringing this up, because I think there's so many benefits that were not used in the past that should be used now. And I think everybody's starting to come around.
And the other thing, whether you know, we talk about football players with CTE, but he took a lot of punishment in his career as well as dished out a lot of it as well. And you, as you talked about, it's not just the injuries. A lot of people have said that whether it's anxiety or depression, he deals with a lot. And he knows, in terms of a sense of a source of income, if he does these meet and greets, these autograph sessions, all these different things, that he'll have the income that he needs, at least in part. But in order to get through them, it can be where he's dealing with demons that we don't know about. And if it helps him to get through that, again, then it becomes medical marijuana in my mind.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely benefits if it works for you, because there's a possibility that you participate in something like that. And if you have some sort of health condition and it doesn't work. So it's possible for sure. But I looked at the website. You cannot make any reservations, but there will be a time where you'll be able to visit the ranch. Kind of.
It's not complete yet.
Right. It's not complete. And they still haven't gotten permission to buy or sell. I think you can participate as long as you bring your own. So
I wonder if he's going to have the pigeon.
He's got enough room for it, right?
I was going to say, you can have the pigeons and the marijuana. And it says the Tyson Ranch, which is a little scary when you think about Neverland Ranch. Tyson Ranch is still under construction, but they had a music festival there recently.
And they got in trouble.
They hosted it on the property in February, and the group behind the project said it's only the beginning. So the property's going to have a bunch of stuff on it.
Yeah, so. They had A$AP Ferg and Miguel, who's a singer, perform on the ranch before. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be multiple things that you can do. It's not just a cannabis ranch. Obviously, that's what it's a luxury weed ranch, because there's going to be luxury hotel rooms. We talked about glamping. There's a bunch of things that you can do on this 418-acre ranch, but there's other, I mean, it's not just for that as well. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Mike Tyson is just, he's just an interesting dude. There's nothing boring about Mike Tyson.
No. Remember, because he had the one man show on Broadway a while back. And yeah, actually, people thought it was going to just completely crap out. It actually did pretty well.
I didn't watch it in its entirety, but he actually had a bunch of good one liners. I mean, he's had some experiences, and obviously his stories are so funny. But yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty cool. I would definitely check it out if I was in California.
Tiger just missed a par putt. Tiger, as long as there's a major in golf, it's better when Tiger's involved. Before we go to break, he just had a par putt. I think it's his last hole of the day. He was 4 under. He's going to be 3 under. He's only 4 shots off the lead. If he's in contention on the weekend, that's a very good thing for just golf, sports, and every sports fan in general. So. There's a little quick update on the U.S. Open as well. Oh, we got a half hour to go on the show. 30 minutes on the clock. We'll take you till 4. Right? Yep. Blitz will take you till 7. Got a giveaway to get to in the final half hour of the show. So it's a WWE one. So if you're interested in wrestling, we are here for you. Don't go anywhere. 30 minutes left. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome back to the final half hour of F Yeah Friday on The Usual Suspects. F Yeah. Not F-E-F for all you long-timers. Nick and Joel with you. Barry will be with you shortly, as soon as we wrap up, as he fills in for Fred on the Blitz. You know how the boss does it. He takes top priority, so therefore Barry leaves his own show to go to do AJ's show, and Nick has done a valiant job and fantastic effort filling in. We've had a lot of fun on an FEF Friday, and speaking of that, we always have fun for you guys as well. Therefore, why don't we do a giveaway so that you can see some WWE, presented by NXT Live, coming to the Revention Music Center on Friday, June the 21st. Experience the up-close wrestling action with WWE's next generation of superstars. We'll take caller 12 right now, 713-780-3776 to win a pair of tickets to see the show. Caller 12 713-780-3776 for more tickets and show information. If you do not win and you still want to go to livenation.com.
So what you got going on this weekend, man? What are you going to do?
Father's Day, bro. I'm going to do whatever the hell I want.
Oh, that's right.
I'm going to play hoops tomorrow morning. I don't know I'm going to figure out this damn keychain. I mean, this remote thing for the car.
Yeah, that's right.
Probably peep a little golf And then I don't know if they have anything planned or not, but we'll figure it out. You know, when the pregnant wife gets the mood swings, you just don't know. We could be planning one thing and do something totally
different.
You
got to be a soldier. You got to follow orders at that point, right?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Sunday mornings, I've gotten into this pattern of taking Tay to the trampoline place and all that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And she just cuts loose for like an hour, hour and a half is like $6.99. And she will get tired out. She
has a blast. Do you jump?
No, I'm not late. But believe me, there's enough idiots that do that. They're gonna kill somebody.
I've seen them. I've seen like senior citizens. I've seen some pretty interesting characters do this. Because obviously this trampoline thing has become a trend. There's one that just opened up by my house. I'm assuming there's one by your house.
Yeah.
They're all over.
Yeah, Urban Air and all these different places. But the thing is, there's one dude that works there that looks like Chub Rock. I mean, he makes Chub Rock look anorexic. And this dude goes 100 miles an hour, and they've got this one room where they've got probably a line of, in a straight line of about 12 that go about 100 yards. And he just goes one bounce on each trampoline, and it looks like he's going through the wall like a cartoon at the end.
Ouch.
And then he just flips around and goes back and forth. I'm like, dude, are you working here? Or are you trying to take somebody out? Because if somebody, like the little kids who are only supposed to do the 7 and under room, but they also can go to other ones, if they just mistakenly walk out in front and he's coming full tilt, something's going to happen. Yeah. Their insurance policies at those places have got
to
be ridiculous.
It has to be. I'm assuming the premium is several thousand dollars. But yeah, I mean, I can only imagine. I've never heard of any accidents, but I don't see how you do not have some sort of issue.
I got parents in there that I see that are like thinking their kid's going to be the next gymnast. They like make them. There's one where there's a trampoline right next to one of those like big, like inflated landing areas. They make it look like water, but it's just like a big blown up pillow. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like a swimming pool sized pillow that into. They got parents making their kids do forward and backward flips into that thing, and they're only like 3 or 4. And I'm like, yeah, nothing bad could happen if they mistake the landing and land on their head or something. I don't care if it's, you know, padded in there or not. I'm not doing all that. If Taylor doesn't want to jump, she ain't jumping.
Yeah. I mean, if she wants to, sure.
Right.
But I see what you're talking about. But that's kind of the reason why you see, like, kids now have way more skill sets than we ever did growing up. Because they're in MMA. They're in gymnastics.
Jiu-jitsu, as you guys were talking about the other day.
They're all over. They're like, their brain is just absorbing all these skill sets at a very, very young age, which is a good thing, but can be dangerous. I mean, if Taylor wants to do it, she'll do it. You know what I mean? If she has no fear, if she wants to do it, she'll do it. But it's just a matter. I'm not risking it, especially if they don't want to do it. Because if they don't want to do it, that's how you risk injury to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, it's like, not that I've played soccer, but I think from a coordination standpoint, especially someone as young as she is, the fact that she's doing soccer and she's getting into using her feet and coordination and balance things, I'm good with that. I'm good with the dance she's taken, the swimming lessons and all that. But, I mean, I'm not going to push her, because the other thing is she may want to dive and flip. But unless someone's there to make sure that she flips correctly so she doesn't land funny, and that's where you take her to a gymnasium with gymnastics class, I'm not having her learn flipping for the first time from some crazy parent at an Urban Air.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either, because you don't even know how they would react to injury to begin with.
Yeah, and most of the people that are working there are like high school, college kids, mostly high school kids that are just all about like hitting, texting people and
hitting up
their friends.
If something happened, they'd be like, oh, I guess I'll say sorry.
Yeah, and
we'll try not to do it again.
I see like dodgeball, and the balls are kind of deflated, but you see a couple kids will pelt another kid with a fastball, and instead of like going, hey, let's take that, they're like laughing. I'm like, boy, I'll tell you what, I'd turn a ball on, start busting their ass. These people, crazy. At least I'm letting her go through. I'm not having her play dodgeball yet, because I can tell you this too, Nick. One of those kids hits Taylor with a fastball, I'm going in.
She might just do it herself. She might punch you in the throat.
She has a knack for doing that. I'm proud of the fact that she sticks up for herself a little bit. I don't know if you saw this or not, but we were talking about Tiger Woods. Elin, his ex-wife, pregnant.
What?
Yeah.
Elin's I thought she got married, right?
No, hasn't gotten married yet, but it's a name you probably know. NFL, they call him a star. But Cameron Jordan.
The tight end?
I'm sorry, Jordan Cameron. Yeah, the tight end that played for the Dolphins and the Browns. Jordan Cameron is going to be the father They are not engaged or married, but they have been dating quietly for 2 years. He's been living with her, of course. She came out of that settlement pretty good. But she's in her 40s now. She's pregnant, and they're expecting 40s? Their first child together. Both wow. have children from previous marriages.
Well, look, she can do her thing just like Tiger Woods can do his own thing. So good for her, I guess. And how? What a random name. Like, what? Like, how did that happen?
I don't know. But I know how they how she got pregnant. If you need that information, I can give that to you. But probably best to do that off the air. But yeah, so she's doing all right. Tiger's obviously rebounding nicely and staying with one woman. So
speaking of football, though, did you see the advent of the I guess the meetings the NFL had regarding pass interference and whether or not they will review it in the last 2 minutes of the game? I don't know if you had any thoughts or you got a chance to read the story. I saw it on the rundown.
Yeah, it's going
to
be interesting. Because, so essentially, there, as you know, they've expanded replay again, and they said on the last-minute review calls, normally they go to the booth. As we all know, the ref goes to the sidelines and gets underneath the hood, and then they talk to the booth upstairs, that they're going to basically put it in the referee on the field's hands. They're going to be able to see the replay. They're going to be able to see it on, under the hood, and then they will be the ones to dictate the call and not the booth. I don't know. Are you good with that?
I don't know yet because I'd like to see a few reps first before I make my decision. But I do know it's kind of a struggle for the NFL because for them, they don't want to necessarily continuously stop the game. They want to like limit the amount of stops and challenges in the game. But at the same time, they want to get the call right. Absolutely. So there was kind of a blowback from coaches about whether or not they're going to allow them to do that. So it's still, they were still pretty vague about the situation. They weren't really giving you any details, but that's the battle that the NFL has. They want to get the calls right, but they obviously are concerned about the viewing pleasure of the game.
And the timeliness of it. You got to be quick with it because, look, there might be a team that's gaining momentum, making a big final drive and rolling down the field, and all of a sudden they're going to stop play. And if it takes longer to go to the booth and look at all these different replays and they can get it all down to official quicker and it kind of shortens the amount of time in between plays, I'm all for it. But like you said, the top priority has to be you got to get the call right. At the end of the day, get the call right. We were talking about it in the Astros game the other night. One, if you don't definitively not only get the call right, but come back and tell the viewers, the fans, and the players and coaches why you made the call you made and it went the way that it did, you get more confusion and it doesn't do any good.
Yeah, and they're literally anticipating a blowback from the coach. They're going to give some more feedback before they make this official rule, before they make the rule official. And even then, it's a struggle for them to know that that's the right decision until they see how it plays out and how it's executed by some of these officials. I don't know if you want to put that type of pressure on the refs, but if that's what it takes to get the call right, which has kind of been the gripe in a lot of situations for us in the NFL, especially considering it's only a 16-game season, by all means. But you have to remember, coaches, they purposely do that as strategy. They challenge just for the sake of it sometimes as strategy in their games. And I think that's what the refs are trying. They don't want to be challenged for no reason, but they want to be challenged if they got the call wrong. And that's hard.
One other thing to think about on this, okay? The reason why I think they're putting it more on the officials that are calling the game's hands and less on the booth too is it's just like with anything else when you're getting replay involved and other people. If you're the referees that are responsible for getting the calls right and making every call for the majority of the game, it has to piss you off to some point and to some level when late in the game, after you've called the whole game, you have to let somebody else make a call for you at the most critical time.
Yeah, that's got to be annoying.
I think referees have to get a little ticked off and go, you know what? I called 30-some minutes of this game. If suddenly now you're going to butt in and tell me some dude up in the booth is going to make a call and tell me I was right or wrong, I'm probably going to be pissed off.
Yeah.
So they have more invested in it if they're the ones that actually get to make the call with the replay.
There's several parties to consider if you're the NFL. The teams, the owners, the coaches, the referees, the viewing pleasure. And it's just a massive challenge.
Yeah, so you know what? This is an undertaking they wanted to take on, and they knew because of the Saints-Rams game in the playoffs that this was going to be an issue. They're trying to make it work, but you got to believe the first year is going to be a work in progress. Like you said, plenty of people going to have plenty to say throughout every single time one of these calls comes up. So that's coming up for the NFL this season. Well, coming up for us is one more segment, then we're going to turn it over to the Blitz. They are at Big City Wings. It is Barry filling in for Fred along with AJ and Aaron, and of course our good friend Jerry Bow holding down the fort here in Houston. So the Blitz coming up from at 4. They'll take you till 7. We'll finish up next. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, wrapping up the final segment of the show on an FEF Friday, it's Joel and Nick in studio because Barry got to stay home today, close to the Casa, as he is filling in for Fred on the Blitz with AJ. They're coming up next, 4 to 7, so stay tuned for that. That should be good. We've had a great show today. Nick's been fantastic, double-dipping as he was the producer and co-hosting with me on the show. So that was fantastic. So great job, Nicholas, as we had a blast doing all of this. I don't know if you saw this or not, but this is a little bit creepy. John Cena says that he has gotten accidental wood while wrestling. He claims, Nicholas, and he quotes, that that's what the body does.
I saw that, and I wanted to make sure it wasn't some satire website that was just
BS. This is People Magazine on this article.
Yeah, I saw the headline. I didn't click on it. How does it happen when you're wrestling with other dudes, bro? And look, John Cena is not a guy that's like, his resume in that department is not, it's not a bad one. We could both agree on that, right?
Right.
So why he would say that, I don't know if he was just trying to be funny. I didn't get all the context.
Didn't he just get, he broke up being engaged to one of the twins?
Yeah.
According to People Magazine, he was on Andy Cohen Watch What Happens Live recently and admitted he has gotten accidental wood while mid-wrestling match. And he, quote, says, it's something the body does. You just ignore it.
Did he mention which particular wrestler that he was?
No, thankfully for all of us. He said, just ignore it. It's what the body does. You can't be blamed for that. How do you ignore a pudgy? I'm just asking a question, man. I mean, we're grown adult men here. You can't just ignore that. You know it's there. You feel it.
I saw one website just a minute ago, and I accidentally exited out, and it was like, you can't blame him for, or no, he's suffering from this. Like, it's some sort of like condition. But the fact that he mentions it tells me it's happened more than once, right? Would you, is that a safe guess? The fact that he's, well,
if you're just wrestling that dude, you don't want to take down when he's got the billy club from behind. That's terrible.
Yeah. I think if he revealed any of the wrestlers, that they would feel very uncomfortable about that. So he probably didn't do that. But that would be funny if he actually, well, you know, when I wrestle this guy, nothing really happens and I don't get very excited. But when I wrestle that guy,
jeez. I mean, and then they went on, Andy Cohen went on to ask him, is it, and a fan, I guess, asked as part of the show, is it true he spends up to 30 minutes a day shaving his body hair, which he denied because some days he said it's even more.
What's even more?
That it takes longer than 30 minutes for him to shave his body hair.
You would think a wrestler like that, where obviously body hair is a big no-no in that industry, you would think they would have some other means of getting rid of body hair outside of shaving. Like, I don't know, electrolysis, well, waxing.
Electrolysis is the more expensive, technologically advanced version.
They've got money. They've got money.
They used to have what, Nair?
Nair was that? Yeah, we were talking about the short shorts commercial.
Yeah, remember? you just slap yourself in what, lotion that all of a sudden somehow acidically rips all your hair off?
For them, they have probably a less painful process than waxing and Nair and all that other stuff. You obviously have to be, because every wrestler is like that. There's only a few, I think, wrestlers that they, like, it has to be a part of their shtick to where they have like arm hair and stuff like that, right?
I've never really seen any body hair on any other wrestlers.
That's a good point, because you know what? I didn't really think about it until you said
it's almost like a standard or a requirement.
But even some of the dudes that are supposed to be like Hacksaw Jim Duggan and some of the older, like supposed to be more scrappier looking dudes,
back in the day, I'm sure that didn't, there wasn't no rule. And I'm not saying there's a rule now. I would have to ask someone like a Jose Partida.
Yeah, a wrestling aficionado. You know how old he is?
Who?
Cena.
I would say 42.
Yeah. 42.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. I thought it was in his early 40s. Is he exactly 42?
Yeah. I thought he'd be more in his 30s, maybe late 30s, but he's 42 years old.
Nah, he's been around the game now. Because I remember seeing him in, 2010, 2009?
Yeah, he said he's not calling it quits anytime soon with retirement, but he is interested in continuing, obviously, in movies and anything that can keep him working. He figures as long as he's working, it's not retirement, whether he wrestles or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's done Fast and the Furious, and he's done some other things.
There's another Fast and Furious movie coming out.
I saw that.
I saw the previews on the way before I came to the studio today. And I saw a Lion King preview.
Based on your experiences with Aladdin, I'm sure you can't
Aladdin
wait.
Aladdin was amazing.
That's what I'm saying. I bet you can't wait for the freaking Lion King.
Yeah, people didn't like Will Smith. Jada Pinkett Smith was on, I don't want to say the Tonight Show, but she was on one of the big shows. And she talked about the critics of Will Smith and how they were bad and how the critics weren't nice. Because apparently it wasn't just fans saying that. It was like the movie critics.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were poo-pooing on Will Smith as the genie in Aladdin. So she was like, does it bother Will Smith? And she's like, not one bit. Like, he just does not care.
He got paid. It doesn't matter. He's still going to collect that check.
And normally, even if you do get paid, but you're not as established as Will Smith, it does matter. But in his case, yeah, he got paid, and it doesn't matter because he's probably going to get another gig. They're not choosing him to be the new Men in Black guy, but...
You just call him a black guy?
No.
I knew that already.
Men in Black, the movie.
Oh.
That's what I said.
Okay. Oh, I just heard you say he's a black guy.
He is indeed a black guy.
So what about you for the weekend? You got plans?
I do. I don't know if I'm going to go to the game tonight, but tomorrow is going to be fun. Doing a little bit of a staycation, so I'm looking forward to this weekend for sure.
You're gonna get the beach hat tomorrow and the Hawaiian shirt on Saturday.
I used to rock Hawaiian shirts back in the day.
Strohs are doing it for Father's Day weekend.
I'm not mad at that.
They're doing the Barry Cuts the Lawn hat tomorrow, and they're doing full blown Hawaiian shirts on Saturday.
In high school and in my early college years, I had probably 20, 25 different Hawaiian shirts. I'd rock them all the time in the summer.
You were like Jimmy Buffett kind of thing?
Didn't care.
Really?
Be shirtless.
Well, obviously, Jose Partida doesn't care now because he's rocking in one of the ugliest ones I've ever seen today. Jose Partida. It's an Astros Hawaiian shirt. He claims he made it out of curtains. I hope he didn't have to pay for it because it's awful, and it's not the one they're giving away Sunday.
My favorite thing about Jose is that he makes fun of his own wardrobe. Like, the other day we saw this collar. And his collar shirt. And he was like, yeah, I got it from Charlie Palillo. I was like, damn, you're going to do your own host like that? That's messed up, bro.
First of all, there's no way Jose could squeeze into a Palillo shirt.
It looked like a shirt from Charlie Palillo's closet, too.
Charlie last week gave me a few shirts to try on Taylor, and they were too small.
So wrong.
Just letting you know.
But that's your boy. I mean, because
we're friends.
You're the only person he follows at Gal Media. So he hates everybody else, clearly.
There you go.
So
that should say something to a lot of people. Thank you, brother. That was a lot of fun. And I hope you do have a good staycation weekend.
I do.
I hope you guys do, too. Whatever you're doing, happy Father's Day. Enjoy your weekend. Appreciate you being suspects. We'll talk to you again on Monday. For Nick and Jerry Bowe, I'm Joel. Have a great weekend, everybody. The Blitz is next with Barry. Don't go anywhere right here on ESPN 97.5.